Okay. So this is our last AVG Dev Room talk of the day. It's another podcasting one and using AI to do that. Well, I'm guessing it's, well, I'll find out how you're going to use AI. Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. Today I'm going to talk to you about a new project which is called PodLibre. And it's a podcast audio editing software for the AI age. This is the mascot for PodLibre, and we have some stickers, so feel free to come and get some after the presentation. So let me introduce myself. I'm Benjamin. I love podcasts. I love free and open source software. I work at Linagora developing a truly open source AI solution, and I emphasize on truly open source. I'm also the founder of Adores, which is a company that develops open source solution for podcasters. One of them is Castopod, which is an open source podcast hosting platform. And I'm also a photographer for Wikiportraits, which does nice picture for Wikipedia. So first, let's talk about you. Who is a developer in the room? Okay, that's over 100%. And who is a podcaster? Okay, like 25. Who wants to be a podcaster? Okay. And who is listening to podcasts? Oh, like 100%. Okay. So now I'm talking to the person who are already podcasting. What software do you use? What is your workflow? Like the main editing software? Reaper? Reaper, Audacity, Logic, okay. That's it. Okay. No one is using Ardour. Okay, back there. The Rhythm. Okay. So let's start with a definition. What is PodLibre or PodLibre? Obviously, it's come from podcasts and from libre, which is free as in free speech. So it's either French or Spanish. I'm taking just two examples that I wish we'll see in the dictionary in a few years. I switched to PodLibre because I wanted full control over my podcast workflow without sending my audio to the cloud. Or the PodLibre approach means owning your entire production chain from recording to RSS feed. Because, of course, we all agree here that podcasting is linked to RSS. If there is no RSS feed, then it's not a podcast. If it's on YouTube, it's probably not a podcast. So I'm going to tell you my story. Bonnie, just before me, said that everything about recording or podcasting is like a religion. And I totally agree with her. In fact, I couldn't agree more. So welcome to my church. Back like 6 years ago, we wanted a solution to host our podcast and to host the podcast for our customers, our clients. And we couldn't find any. And moreover, we wanted one which was connected to the Fediverse, and that was, we couldn't find even less. So we started Castopod as a side project. We're deeply grateful for the community that we've built, like over 1.7 million hours of content. So people are trusting us with their content. Most of them are self-hosting, which is what we wanted in the first place. So that's really great. And it's translated in over 30 languages. Some of them, we are like the only podcast platform having these languages, like Breton. In France, there's no other platform using that language, and this is why we love open source, because if you want something, you can have it. So we're podcasters too. So this is my church. Over the years, I started using Logic, then Ardour, because it's open source. and because it's non-destructive. Then I switched to Audacity because it's easier, faster, and it's almost non-destructive now, not 100%, but almost. And with the new version, you can use it with Pipewire. So yeah, it makes sense. But we are a big advocate for transcriptions, for obvious accessibility and discoverability issues. So we need to make transcriptions, and I developed over the years some Python scripts to do that, and many scripts. So publishing an episode has become very cumbersome. And when talking to other podcasters, we realized that we are not the only ones with these issues. So this is why we decided to start Podlib. One other thing is that the software we are using, so Reaper, Ardour, Audacity, Rhythm, Logic, they are done for musicians. And there are many, many things that we don't need, and many things that we need that aren't there. So the workflow is not very appropriate for podcasting. So this is an example. So this is my podcast, the latest episode, yes. So as I said, and as Bonnie said, this is my religion. Maybe yours is totally different. And this is why I'm talking to you now, because at some point we need some feedback, because there is no way that we have all the good answers just with a bunch of us. So we really need your feedback. If there is one thing that should come out this talk, is feedback from you. So here you can see there are some speakers. So one microphone per speaker. You can see that when someone is not talking, it's totally blank. It's muted. Here there are chapters. You can see, yeah, next weekend it's FOSDEM. Here, Donald Trump is the best advocate for open source software. Here is the music. And doing that, that's looks pretty simple. It's very easy. There are like four tracks plus the chapters. That should take 10 minutes. And I really do think that doing this, editing this, should take no more than 10 minutes. But the truth is, it takes hours, because you need to normalize the level and to compress the audio. And maybe here, this was our intern. He's 14. So he spoke too far away from the microphone. So the ratio signal noise was not good enough. So we have to level up the sound. So there was too much noise, so we had to remove noise. But all this should be almost automatic. It should be most complicated part you will have to do, which should be checking a checkbox, because these are the things that we do every week. This is the transcription edition. If you do, we do automatic transcription, but you have to correct it. And there is no software that allows you to correct that in a way that you feel you're in 2026. And moreover, the transcription is done afterwards. But I need it before editing, because the transcription could be very useful for editing. So this is the benchmark that we did over a year ago with many, many tools, open source and non-open source. I'll publish the full presentation afterwards. And none of them answers our needs. Our needs, so we need transcript-driven editing, because we want to be able to use the transcription to edit and to know which part should be taken out. Noise reduction, one metadata place for everything, because there are many metadatas: the title, the show notes, the transcription, the chapters. And right now you have to put them, like maybe there are some ID3 tags within the MP3 file, and in the end it takes much time for no added value. chapter management, etc. So we asked you, is there anyone here who answered this poll in the room? No, you don't remember? So we asked that on the Fediverse on Mastodon, and we asked, would it make sense, so it was over a year ago, would it make sense to develop a tool for podcast edition? And yeah, we got like 45 plus 36% who said yeah. So PodLibre is a podcast editor built by podcasters, for podcasters, and open source. So the key principles, we want something that's cross-platform, because even though I'm using Linux, and I think everyone should, one step at a time, it should also be able to run on macOS and Windows, privacy focused, because we don't want to send our data to any big tech. We need a plugin-based architecture, because I know that my workflow is not yours, and even my workflow can evolve and change depending on which podcast. If I'm hosting two podcasts, they probably won't have the same workflow. Of course, it's open source, and it should be able to run offline. I don't want an application that uses APIs for everything. Maybe there's one plugin that will have an API and run on the cloud, but I want it to be able to run offline. So this is the basic workflow that we designed. So you create a podcast, then an episode, you import your audio files, maybe later, but that's not our priority. You record from the application, and then you would like normalize audio, reduce noise, compress, then transcript, and you'd be able to correct the transcription and go back, and then insert the music. Something that I really miss on all audio editing software is the ability to have a music which length can adapt to the length of my introduction. So like with a beginning, a loop, an ending, and I just want to be able to drag and drop and say use the loop as many times as possible so that the intro music lasts as long as my introduction, my spoken introduction. Then you need the chapters, the metadata, and you export, you publish to whichever hosting system you want to. So that this is something that it would look like. This is a mock-up. It doesn't exist yet. We have some stuff running, but I won't be showing them to you today because we're a little bit behind schedule. And this is what we started working on. So we are using Python because, as I said before, I developed many scripts with Python because we need transcription, we need many things that are working there. We're using PyQt so that it can run on any platform. Whisper, I said it, and Noise Reduct, PyDub, and plugin architecture. So with a little more detail, this is what it looks like. I published that so that you can have a look at it and give us feedback, of course, because as I said, and I'm repeating myself, we need your feedback. So we built the very first brick. We have a work in progress. We have plugins. We have transcription. We started editing the audio. So we have the core architecture. The plugin system is functional. We also got a grant from NLNet to make sure that this is sustainable and that we'll go to the end. My company, Adores, of course, is sustaining it. But what this means is things will break. The UI will change. Your feedback shapes everything. Repeating it again, and now is probably the best time to get involved because the more, the merrier, but also the better ideas we can get. We know that it won't be that easy. There are many, many things to do, the platform compatibility, GPU acceleration. We don't even know if we want to do something like that on macOS with the new silicon systems. Managing compatibility with Python, because plugins is the key, and you know that it's very easy to make a mess with plugins. And we need stability, because I'm using Audacity. I'm using like the latest version 3.7, and it's not stable. And I say a lot of bad words when I'm editing right now. I even tried the version 4, which is not finished yet. You cannot do chapters. It's missing a lot of features, but we need something that's stable, and we want to spend like 10 minutes, maybe half an hour on it, not hours, because it keeps on crashing. So, if you want to join us, if you want to give us your feedback, it can be technical, it can be talking of features, of environments, things that we haven't thought of. There's a website, which is podlib.org. There's a community website, which is community.podlib.org. And the source code is on Codeberg, because we don't like GitHub, because we don't like Microsoft. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? If we can, right, there's one right up at the back. We have to use the microphone so people online can hear. So.
It's up at the back in the middle.
Maybe we start here then?
Okay, start with this one.
Yeah.
And then we'll.
Thank you for everything. I'm an enthusiast Castopod user in self-hosting, and my question is exactly if in your roadmap there is any seamless integration to start from the recording to the publishing on one Fediverse platform, which may be Castopod or others.
Yeah, of course. In the very first version, we plan to integrate with Castopod so that you can publish directly from Podlib to Castopod without even opening Firefox. We also plan to have local publishing, because I think that a podcast, in the end, is just MP3 files and an RSS text file. So we should be able to publish to a static website. So this is one other. If you have a static website, also we want it to the app to be able to upload it to an FTP SFTP server, so that when one click it's online and you don't even need PHP on your server. One thing that we'll also integrate, and there's a talk later this afternoon. It's called FurCamp. It's also a project granted by NLNet. And it's a software that publishes static website for audio. So, and the thing is, we're doing a plugin architecture so that when you create a workflow, you select the plugins that you want. And in the end, if you want to publish to Castopod, you select the Castopod plugin and you say, this is where I want to publish. And if you do another podcast on another platform, you duplicate this workflow and you just change the publishing plugin at the end, put to publish it to, I don't know, Spotify for podcasters or YouTube podcast. That's your decision.
Hello, I have questions and about the workflow you showed. And about the soft, so I'm working in a non-profit radio in Brittany in France, and we are looking for softwares who are more easier than Reaper. So I'm very interested about Podlib, although I'm also a sound engineer, and I've seen I have questions about some of the technical aspects, and especially your workflow. You mentioned compressing audio before editing it and something like that. I just want to be sure if you, in the software, you, if it will be as flexible as Reaper, which also Reaper can not only do music, but a very lot of stuff. I've done mixing for short films and other stuff. So yeah, maybe we can also meet later.
Yeah, sure. I have to admit, I'm not a big fan of Reaper because it's not open source, and everyone is using it because it's free if you choose not to pay for it. So I don't like this business model, if either you pay for it or you don't. And many podcasters in France are using it because you can like cheat and get it for free without. But and it's not open source, and it runs on Linux, but with some tweaks. The thing is, to answer your question, the workflow that I showed is an example. It's my church. And if you don't, a few months ago, I didn't even compress sound because I lack sound like right out of the microphone. I take very good care of the environment and the microphone so that I don't have to change anything. And some listeners say you have to compress because in the car we can't hear, and so I changed my mind and I changed my workflow. There is not one workflow, even for a single person. So of course you have to be able to adapt.
So very nice idea, very nice initiative, I think. So thank you for that. I have two questions, but I'm not sure if I'm allowed. The first one is about the PyTorch dependency that you mentioned, that typically that's used for training, not for inference. Because I know from experience dealing with packaging Python stuff cross-platform, that becomes very hard to manage. Is that something that you are going to maybe require at runtime or only for like building or?
So yeah, this is a copy-paste from everything that we've been working on the past few years with my colleagues and I. There's one thing that we don't know for sure. Maybe at some point we'll build several versions, so that you can choose. Maybe you don't care about transcription and you don't want this at all, and you want something like a minimal install, very small, so that it can run on a very old laptop. And that's probably what we're going to do if we want to keep it simple. To provide several versions, and we'll build many of them. The thing is, it has to. We don't want too many of them because otherwise you won't be able to choose which one you want.
Yeah. If I'm allowed, the second question. That's good. The other question would be regarding, because I saw their deep filter net that I had some experiments done with. There is a way to package everything. It's something that I'm working together with a friend of mine to package everything into an audio plugin, so you don't have to set up any training, don't have to set up dependencies. It just ends up with a single plugin binary, basically. Would you consider maybe taking out all the PyTorch, all the other dependencies, if you can just install one single plugin that does, for example, the vocal isolation? If it does it for you, do you still need all these other AI tools if you have plugins that can do the real-time processing of the audio?
Yeah, we want to put as much as possible into the plugins. I'm currently using Whisper, but Whisper is not the only transcription engine in town. There is not Qtie. Even Meta released a month or two ago trained models for 1,000 languages with translation. So, yeah, we want to put as few as less possible in the core app, of course.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time, and we keep very strict time at Fosdem. So, thank you very much. Great talk, great questions. and great AVG creation, Devrim. That's our first.